This is episode 248 of the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Welcome back. How you doing today? Guys, I got myself on for this particular masterclass, and I realized in episode 246, I kind of goofed and, you know, said that was a Q&A episode, and that wasn't the case. Obviously, it was just me. You know, usually the even number shows is a guest expert. Sometimes I'll kind of tackle it myself. I've gotten really good feedback on those, and I want to kind of direct your attention to episode 246. If you haven't had an opportunity to listen to it, all you got to do is go to flipempire.com/episode246. That was part one. You know, part one, just kind of recapping and highlighting some of the things. You know, I talked about how you can get the most out of your appointments, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, the preparation you put prior to the appointment, you know, your homeowner's interaction with you from the moment that they speak to you, you know, how you take them down a certain process, how you listen, how you empathize, some of the prep work that needs to happen prior to that appointment, some of the things and the communication that has to happen in between, you know, from the moment you hang up that phone to the moment that you or an acquisition or an outside sales rep meets with the homeowner, and everything in between. So definitely listen to episode 246, which is part one. And what I want to kind of pivot into now in episode 248, and again, in this masterclass, guys, it's just going to be me. It's going to be shorter than they normally are. It'll probably be, you know, somewhere in the, I don't know, 8 to 15 minute range. And I know that, you know, a lot of people really prefer the short and sweet episodes. And I got some really, really cool tips that I think are going to help you or your team when you guys are meeting with sellers face to face. And a lot of this also applies if, you know, you guys are doing deals on the phone, depending on what your model is. So, you know, let's assume now we're inside a seller's house. You know, one of the things that I learned early on from a mentor years ago when I got started in this business back in 2005 is, you know, when you walk into a house, you don't talk about that house or the seller situation for the first 5-10 minutes, if possible. I realize there's times where like sellers are just very direct and they want to kind of jump right into it. But, you know, when you walk into a house, one of the things that you know, I talked to my guy Leo about when he meets with sellers is, you know, look at ways that you can further build on that that relationship that occurred when you first spoke to them or when you confirmed the appointment. You know, how can you build rapport? Look around, look at pictures inside of frames, and do they have kids? Do they have pets? Is there a particular hobby or something that it's very apparent they like? You know, what can you quickly point out from just kind of looking at your surroundings, looking at the house, that you might be able to connect with that seller on? And if not, you know, small talk until you can get that seller feeling comfortable, open, having them open up, because, you know, sellers are not going to work with you if they don't feel comfortable, if they don't have confidence in you, and they don't ultimately trust you. You know, there's that saying that everybody always says, you know, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. It's applicable. It's very important. You know, when you walk into a seller's house, try to connect with them on some type of level, and don't make it all about the house, unless that's just their personality type, which is something else I alluded to and spoke on part one, episode 246. So, you know, we always get that seller, we always kind of give them an advanced agreement. An advanced agreement is letting them know, hey, listen, Mr. Seller, like we spoke on the phone, you know, this appointment usually takes 30 to 45 minutes. I'm just going to ask you to walk me around the house, you know, kind of show me around. And then after that, I can sit down. If I see something that's going to prevent me from making a cash offer on your property, I'll let you know at that point, and we can just kind of part as friends. Otherwise, I'll be able to really dial in an offer for you based on, you know, what I see and based on your situation and how we can best help you. That's an advanced agreement. You're basically getting them to agree that, okay, let's do this, right? Sometimes sellers will say, oh, well, I got to rush back to work. I only got 10 minutes. Reschedule that appointment. You don't want to rush through this process, because the odds of you walking away with a signed contract and having them agree to work with you are slim to none, in my experience. So after the seller walks you through the property, or your outside sales rep through the property, you know, you're building rapport throughout that process. You know, you're talking about their situation, et cetera. When you sit down with them, there's certain things you need to do. Now, again, you know, listen to episode 78 and episode 80 with John Martinez so that you understand the sales process and the framework, the types of questions you need to be asking them. That's not what I'm going to dive into on this episode. What I want to kind of touch on are things that I took away from a mastermind. A buddy of mine shared this when he presented, and certain things that we do, but I realize we can do even better, okay? So there's a handful of things or so I'm going to, maybe a few more that I'm going to share with you here. One of the first things you want to do, or not one of the first things, but when you start talking about the property, you know, you want to talk about the seller situation more first. One of the things you'll realize when you listen to John Martinez or you go through his training is without pain, there's no sale. So you got to take the seller through a certain process, but you know, always find out what repairs the seller thinks are going to need to be done to essentially be able to sell that property for top dollar. Okay. So get the seller to say in their words, hey, Mr. Seller, what do you think this property needs? Like if you were going to hold on to this property, fix it up and sell it, what do you think would need to be done? Okay. Get them going down that path. Get their brain to associate the work involved in the property. Now, sometimes they kind of might just be off their rocker and they say, oh, this property is in perfect condition. And yet, you know, it's the bathroom's in terrible shape. The floors have cracks. I mean, it smells like crap in there. You know, some sellers are just delusional and, you know, their property is the best thing since sliced bread, right? If you know what I mean. So, but still you want to go have the seller, if possible, just in their words, say, hey, you know, if I was going to hold on to this property and fix it up, here's what I would do. Get them listing all those different things, right? The next thing you want to do is, and this is an easy transition after that question. Well, what do you think it would cost you to do all that? You know, and if possible, have them like almost itemize each area. Like, okay, well, if you were going to do the roof, what do you think it would cost you? Okay, interesting. How about the kitchen? Like if you were going to like put a new kitchen in here and don't focus so much on like what they say, like, oh, I can do a new roof for $4,000. You know what I mean? Like there's ways to handle that, right? Oh, that's interesting. Cause you know, we've put roofs in this area and you know, we usually find it'll take, you know, $8,000 to $12,000, just depending on what you want to do. But you know, so you can drop those seeds in the conversation, but what you don't want to do is be aggressive or be combative and say, oh no, you're crazy. There's no way you can do a roof for $4,000. You know what I mean? So just use your judgment in how you're going to have that conversation. Cause again, think they have to know you, like you, trust you. You got to build that rapport, and you're not going to build rapport by refuting everything that they say. Okay. So again, always find out what the seller thinks the cost of repairs are going to be. Get them to put associate a dollar value with everything you would need to do to fix it up. Oftentimes, you might even find that the seller thinks like you can get the job done for $20,000 and the seller might say, probably 40 or 50. Like sometimes that actually happens. And you can use that obviously in your negotiating. You know, like don't use your $20,000 number, use their $40,000 or $50,000 number. That's not always the case, but sometimes it will be. Another thing you can do is find out what the seller thinks the property's worth after you fix up that property. So after you drop the 20, 30, 40, 50 grand, whatever it might be, into the property, what do you think the house will be worth? Because, you know, sellers oftentimes will tell you what they think their property's worth, but they don't take into account all the repairs and everything the property needs. So when you walk them through this process, oftentimes you'll get a different number. You know, like their number of what they think their house is worth will change by you taking them through these repair questions and associating a dollar amount. So again, ask them what they think the house is worth after you do all the work to it. And then this was just kind of sales 101. You know, always get the seller to state their number first. Oftentimes this isn't possible. And there's different ways you can frame questions and say, you know, so you might ask, oh, you know, what do you think your property's worth? Or what are you looking to get for your property? And, you know, you're going to get objections like, well, I don't know, you called me or you're here. What would you offer? Go in a different direction, ask a few other types of questions, and then circle back and say, you know, what have you seen neighbors in your area selling their properties for? And then that question right there sometimes will get you the answer you're looking for. And you're getting a number from them. You know, and you know, you don't want the number that they want for their house. Just get them to say a number, whether it's what they think the property's worth, or what they've heard neighbors selling their homes for. And I know what you're thinking. Oftentimes that number is a lot higher than what the after repaired value is. You just want to get them to state a number first, and then you can always drop a price anchor. You know, a price anchor is when, you know, let's say the after repaired value of a property is $200,000, and you know you need to pick up this property at 110, let's just say, right? Let's just say the house needs 20 grand in repairs. You know, you think you can wholesale it for 10 to 20 grand. You probably need to be in the low 100s, let's just say. Price anchor them and say, look, you know, would it surprise you to, you know, would you be surprised to hear that we've actually bought some properties in this area for between 70 and 85,000? You know, and just, you're not saying, hey, that's my offer, and you don't want to insult them. You got to be kind of delicate with how you frame that question or how you frame that statement. But you drop a price anchor, you know what I mean? And then you kind of go from there. So one of the things you also have to understand just about sales and psychology are that, you know, people are more likely to believe something that they came up with versus you influencing them in some type of way. You know what I mean? So when people come to their own conclusion, they'll hold on to that more than if you just tell them something. So, you know, one of the things we'll do is we'll actually show them the comps in the area, you know, and we'll give them the comp sheet, and we'll have them, you know, actually like, oh, that's interesting. So this property sold for this. And we'll actually like let them kind of start talking about it and let them go through that process. You know, along those same lines, when you're able to put a seller in a position where they start doing the math in their head and they start thinking about, oh, this is what it would cost me to repair this, or this is what these comps are, you know, this is what these properties are selling for, it puts you in a much better position to get the price you want even before you start negotiating. Okay. Now, I'm going to start to kind of wrap this up. There's a few other things, but I'll kind of just leave you with this. You know, when you're negotiating, so many times people make this mistake. They'll negotiate in $10,000 to $20,000 increments. You know, they'll start at $150,000 and then all of a sudden they jump to $170,000 or $180,000. Realize you just went up $20,000, $30,000, but sometimes it's not tangible how much money you're increasing. Like people increase in even numbers, right? Or sometimes odd numbers, but they'll jump in, you know, hey, an extra $5,000. Try to negotiate in $100 increments and make it like odd, weird numbers if possible, because it gives the, it presupposes that you're putting even more thought and attention into like what the repairs are going to be, the cost is going to be. So don't jump from $150 to $170. Jump from $150 to, you know, if you're not going to, if it's just not going to move the needle, which is often the case in incrementing in, you know, doing $100 increments, you know, jump from $150 to $153, $487. You get what I'm saying? Like the seller might be dropping their price by 10, 15, 20 grand, but you're increasing by hundreds or a couple thousand dollars. And do that, you know, test that out when you're negotiating. So guys, that's all I got as far as part two here. That's the last part of this on episode 248. Let me know your thoughts. I'd love to engage in a conversation with you on social media, whether it's Instagram or Facebook. You know, if you guys are not part of the Flip Empire Facebook group, go to flipempire.com/Facebook. Just request to be added and I'll go ahead and get you added. And, you know, use that platform to engage in conversation with other investors, you know, joint ventures, not necessarily, you know, just to market properties and stuff, because that just doesn't add much value to anyone. So guys, I hope you got a lot of value out of these two-part episodes. Again, if you haven't had an opportunity to listen to the first part, all you got to do is go to flipempire.com/episode246 and let me know your thoughts. You know, if you've enjoyed this show or any of the past ones, head over to iTunes, leave a rating and review. It really helps the show. And that's my only ask of you at this point. I'd greatly appreciate that. So, guys, I'm going to bounce, but I'll catch you on the next episode, okay?
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course, called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.